Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to All Things Therapy with Lisa Tahir, only on LA Talk Radio.
Hello, and welcome to All Things Therapy. I'm your host, Lisa Tahir. I am a licensed clinical social worker practicing as an intuitive psychotherapist. I'm certified in EMDR and a Reiki practitioner as well. I have physical offices in both New Orleans and Los Angeles. You can find me online to book sessions in person, via phone, Skype, or FaceTime through my website, which is nolatherapy.com. And it's the abbreviation for New Orleans, Los Angeles Therapy.com. You can also listen to archived episodes of this show through my website or on YouTube, iTunes, and Google Play. I am going to just jump right in and bring my guest on today. We met at a conference in Los Angeles called Live, Love, Thrive in November of 2016. And I was really struck by her story of inspiration that was birthed from unexpected life transitions, which typically I think our major life transitions are unexpected and might seemingly feel bad, negative, you know, overwhelming at the time. And then once they're navigated, there's a lot of beautiful gifts and lessons. And my guest today, Joe Engelson, really has taken that and built quite a corporation, company, empire that to help the world and bring world peace. And, you know, she talks in her work about through these transitions and challenges, we are given the opportunity to either open up and expand or close down and withdraw. And so we're going to discuss these things, her journey and her book, Source Movement. So welcome, Joe Engelson. How are you?
I am absolutely fabulous. Thank you so much for having me on the show.
You're welcome. Thank you for joining us today. Where is it that you would like to start?
Well, I would love to start by saying it's a fabulous day, and I hope everybody's choosing that. And, you know, because we are, in fact, at choice with everything that we are experiencing, which is exciting. And, you know, why don't I start by just telling you guys a little bit about, you know, where I come from and how my journey got started. I think that might be the best place to go.
Absolutely. Let's do that.
Okay. Yeah, I was born and raised in Sweden, which is an amazing place to be. And I moved to America when I was 21 and just kind of did what we all do. We just kind of go through our life, and I wasn't really necessarily paying attention or feeling that I was the one directing it. At one point, I moved to Florida from Los Angeles. And as I moved to Florida, I ended up in this workshop that was kind of like a personal development workshop.
Okay.
And I had no idea what to expect. But I got in there, and it was like I felt within 30 minutes, I felt like, oh my God, I'm home. And the reason I felt that way is because you know how we kind of move about the world and we just buy each other's BS?
Yeah.
You know, I'm buying what you're putting out, and you're buying what I'm putting out, and it's not always really the core and the truth and the honesty that you know, is really warranted in our life. And so I was in this workshop that was kind of like a no BS environment, and I really got that how effective that is when we are with each other honestly and, you know, from a loving space.
Did you have the experience, Joe, during that time in that workshop and before, like walking around and not knowing that you're asleep, kind of, and then all of a sudden it's like you're woken up in this way,
like,
that's always been there, but you weren't in touch with?
Yeah, Yeah. Absolutely. And I actually had a feeling, too, of like, I felt like I was always on the go. Like, I was always running towards something or away from something, which had me not be present.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was very, enrolled in this training. So I decided to go all the way to their leadership program, which is a 3-month program where you really take yourself to the next level and you start applying all these, this new awareness and this new awakeness to apply that in my life. And during this program, I traveled to Sweden to go to my brother's 40th birthday. And I was at an airport, and I was still a little asleep, you know.
Yeah, of course.
After, you know, 30-something years of being asleep, even though we may feel like we wake up in one moment, it's still very easy to take a few steps back. So I was a little bit asleep, and I kind of ran in. I wasn't paying attention, and I bumped into this older gentleman at the airport, and he fell to the ground.
Mm.
And based on where my consciousness still was, I was absolutely certain he was going to get up and be really mad at me. So I kind of braced myself, and he was the complete opposite. He was just, oh, no worries, you know, I bet you do this all the time, and he hugged me.
Like, kind of funny about it sounds like, even, I bet you do this all the time.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, he had this little veteran's hat on. And I mean, it was like...
Oh, cute.
And it was this profound moment of, here's how I see it, and here's what I'm expecting, yet something completely different showed up. Mm-hmm. And so on some level, it proved me wrong. And it was so blatant that I couldn't deny it or defend what I thought the world looked like. It was just right there in my face, and it was all love. And I was so profoundly moved by this incident in that moment that I thought I wanted to give him something, you know, like I started looking at my pockets, and I'm like, I want to give this man something to say thank you. And we don't really have something on us, you know, that we can give people other than our words, of course.
Right.
And so I got on the plane and I thought, what if we actually had a physical, tangible object that we could hand people in those moments of gratitude or those moments of appreciation or those moments of interruption that has us just be so grateful? And so I came up with this token, like literally a token of appreciation.
Yeah.
And
I have one. It's really cool. It's like a heavy, you know, metal like coin that I registered mine online, you know, because you can give it. I'll, you know, it's really cool. So that's when this was birthed.
You could pay
when you
it
met
forward.
This gentleman.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's what I came up with, was this coin that literally just say, it says, thank you for making a difference in my day. And they're trackable. So you can register them and then pay it forward. And you could go online and kind of see on the map where your token starts traveling in the world. So
yeah.
So that's kind
how
of
how did he take it? And I know his name is Don, because you talk about him in your book, Source Movement. How was that for him, that you were so touched to want to really go beyond just your words of appreciation and gratitude?
Well, the greatest thing is, it turns out he was on my flight, and so I talked to him when we landed, and I said, you know, because of what just happened at the airport, you know, I know now what my purpose is, and I'm going to spread gratitude in the world. And at that point, he didn't really obviously understand what I really meant by that. But then a year to the date of bumping into him, I had created the tracking website and minted all the tokens, and I had gotten his address from his daughter at the airport, and I drove to his house unannounced and gave him token number one.
What did he say?
He was incredibly touched and moved. And here's the beauty about this. I hold him as my hero, and he's changed my life, obviously. And a few weeks after I had been there, his daughter called me, and she said that his wife had died 3 years prior, and he hadn't really gotten out of his pajamas pretty much for 3 years.
Oh, my
gosh. He would just go into his garage and sit and tinker. And after this incident, because I gave him an additional 100 tokens to pass out to whoever he wanted, after this incident, he got up every morning, he took a shower, he put on his like veterans, you know, uniform, went down to the veterans club, and he would sit there and tell the story and give tokens away to the other men and women there.
No way.
And so, yeah, and so, you know, that's kind of like the law of giving and receiving. And, you know, you can't just get without something being given. It does, you know, it's always
right.
You give and you get, you give and you get. And so it's just such a beautiful story how everything works together like that.
Oh, that really makes my heart feel open that you had no idea he had gone through that loss and where he was in his life and how it caused his heart to open and whoever he has touched since. Wow.
Yeah.
Such a beautiful story of reciprocity.
Yeah, absolutely. So so then that day I actually started something that I called a giving year, which was giving away a token. I made a commitment just out of nowhere that I would give a token away every day.
Okay.
To someone that made a difference in my day, and then document it on YouTube.
Yeah.
And that was, you know, when you're like, New Year's comes around, you're like, I'm going to go to the gym three times a week, and then 2 weeks later, you're done. You know?
Right.
So for some reason, with this declaration of doing this every day, there was something within me where my commitment was so much more powerful than that racket or that voice inside. And in my book, I call it the parrot. That says, you know, oh, you don't have to do it today. Oh, you forgot. Or, oh, you know, whatever. All these little conversations that we sometimes buy into, but my commitment kept saying, just, you don't know why, just keep doing it, keep going. And I did for 365 days. I had it happen.
You know, to me, that speaks to when an action is paired with emotion, it becomes a habit. And you talk about, which I know we're going to discuss, 5 principles to create world peace and the integrity of your word that you made to yourself, that commitment, you know, of feeling such gratitude for Don and, you know, wanting to be of service and affect the community, like all the principles in that moment, I think kind of actualized and gave you the ability, the longevity to be committed to this goal. And I bet it was self-reinforcing because I know you, like you said, you documented on YouTube and I'm sure seeing people's reactions and then getting responses to the YouTube videos kind of fed, you know, like this really beautiful energy and entity that just grew and grew and grew during that year.
Yeah. And you know what's so crazy is I just thought of this, you know, like I'm a speaker now. I speak, you know, all over the United States and all these things. I do a lot of video interviews and radio and what have you. And when I did this, you know, I hadn't really done any kind of public speaking or anything like that. But watching myself on video, because I edited the movies every day. I didn't just throw it up there. Like I literally edited movies of myself. With this token every day for 365 days. And so when you see yourself, like I was able to see, you know, what way of being, what's effective, what works good. And I was able through those 365 days to really kind of shift how I appear in front of cameras and people and stages and whatever. And it was almost like a self-taught thing. And back then I didn't know how that was going to serve what I'm doing now.
Mm-hmm.
And so my point is a lot of times when people are, you know, we're doing something and we feel like maybe we're not getting any traction. Like maybe I only had like 14 views that day of this thing, right? And I'm just
right.
Like, oh, nobody cares what I'm doing. And you're feeling sad and you're going through all these emotions. It's almost like you have to go back to, I don't know, I study a Course in Miracles and there's a saying in there that says, I know not what this is for.
Right.
So it's like we just keep coming from love and keep doing what you're doing. And, you know, 10 years later, you might be like, oh, now it makes sense why that happened. You know, it's really profound.
What you're saying resonates with me. Next week is my 1-year anniversary being on LA Talk Radio. And I never thought I would have a talk radio show, but being, you know, moving out to LA 2.5 years ago and living in between there and New Orleans, I've been able to meet Marianne Williamson and was so inspired by her work that I emailed and asked, you know, if I had a radio show, would you come on? Not expecting to hear from her, going back to what you said earlier, you know, expecting this gentleman to be angry that you knocked him down, you know, unintentionally. And she wrote back within a couple hours, I'd love to be on your show, Lisa. It was so great to meet you last week. And remembered who I was, and I didn't even have a show, you know. So I was like, "Holy shit!" You know, it was like a fire under my ass. And she was on my show, you know, several months ago. And it's just been now I've had 52 episodes and met amazing people like you that I never would have met if I didn't take, you know, that step to contact LA Talk Radio and. You know, just start, like, just jump in, like, not knowing what I'm doing, but knowing I want to help. I love communicating. You know, it's kind of doing what I do in therapy, but with a guest that I admire and then sharing that with the world. So, yeah, I really understand from experience what you're talking about right now.
Yeah. Well, congratulations. And that's amazing.
Thank you. Thank you. So for you, what happened next? So this is the website for our listeners. TOFA stands for Token of Appreciation, TOFA.us, about the tokens, about your story. So what? So this is your giving year. So what were you doing at the time professionally? You know, how did that start to shift and change?
So I had this, you know, at this point, I had finished the transformational training, and they were so profound for me that I realized that a lot of things that I had accumulated as far as talents and jobs and relationships and a lot of things was not really at all in alignment with who I was and where I wanted to be. And so I ended up getting out of a marriage that was really kind of a dead-end marriage. There was a lot of addiction and things happening there. And I finally had the courage to kind of break free. And in doing that, the business I was into, I was like, selling handbags and making good money and then realizing this was not for me. So I like literally walked away from everything.
Wow.
I pretty much had everything I could fit in my Honda Element at the time. I put it on my car and I drove to Vegas and I stayed with a friend of mine for 6 months who had recently also gone through a divorce. So we just kind of we were in it together kind of thing. And I had like, and I come from a wealthy family in Sweden, and I've always, you know, it's always been easy to make money and things like that. And I had like $0 to my name. My parents at the time thought I was crazy because here I was putting my life on YouTube every day, which is something you quote unquote don't do. So they thought, you know, she moved to Vegas, you know, she got a divorce, she moved to Vegas, and she's on YouTube every day, and she thinks she's transforming the world. So they were like, what is going on?
Yeah, what are you doing? What happened to our daughter? Yeah,
totally. And during all this, even though I didn't have any of these material things, like I was not looking back, I know I was going through like a spiritual awakening because that was the one thing, like I was meditating, I was reading any book I could get my hands on, you know, the training had supported me with all these tools and also just trusting that this was just the space that I needed to be in and that everything, you know, would be okay eventually. And then this is while I was in the giving year. And, you know, I didn't know what was going to come from giving a token away every day. But, you know, towards the middle of it, you know, like a few hundred days into it, I started seeing abundance creeping in. So like suddenly the bank account had money. I got the job that paid me well again. I moved back to Florida. I got the relationship. Like all these things just started building back up.
Falling into like, place, and, it sounds like, and very like effortlessly.
Yeah, effortlessly. And also very intentionally. Like I could see things just kind of falling into place in front of my eyes just thinking about it. It was really amazing. And what I realized then, you know, and I had heard it before that gratitude is the foundation of abundance. And here I was living that experientially, like, wow, it's true. Here I am, you know, kind of in a pit, and all I'm doing is focusing on gratitude every day and giving a token and creating that kind of a paradigm. And it started working. And I'm like, oh, my God. So I kind of got them that the combination of the trainings that I took with a distinction of gratitude added, because that was not part of the trainings when I took them.
Okay.
And like I said, I also studied the Course in Miracles. So I kind of took this training that was public domain and already out there, and I called some of the top trainers that had done this for 30, 40 years, and I said, are you open to rewriting this for today's consciousness? And I want to add distinction of gratitude, forgiveness, and community.
Yeah.
And they were like, we've been waiting for you.
Wow.
And they were excited, and they came on board, and I started the gratitude training.
Mm-hmm. So tell us about the gratitude training.
It's a gratitude training, and it's a three-part curriculum. And the first part is really about discovery, kind of seeing, like, it's almost like you go, it's experiential, so you do different games and exercises and certain things in there. But it's like you being able to see how you do you. So you get an objective perspective. So, like, there were times in there where I felt like I was, like, somewhere else watching myself going, wow, I didn't know I was that controlling. Or, wow, I'm really powerful when I do that. I never saw that, because it's all these, like, stop and go, like, stop, look, and go exercises. So you, like, stop and you go, well, how did you just do that? And you're like, oh, wow. You know, most of the time we just go without looking at how we're being and doing. So it was super powerful. I got to see, like, what worked and what didn't work in my life. So I was definitely in, and that's when I did part two. So our part two that we have is, now you take everything you discovered in part one. Mm-hmm. And you literally break through anything and everything that stopped you your whole life in 5 days.
Wow. And that's intense, and too. 5 days. That's a good chunk of time to really immerse oneself in this process of discovery and transformation.
Yeah. And it's like literally you roll up your sleeves and you get to work. The training stops until everyone pretty much breaks through whatever it is that they're there for. It becomes very individualized because of the nature of the training, and there are things that happen in part two that people that have gone through it, it's like still to this day, even after having babies and getting married and all this stuff, there's still stuff in there that are the most powerful things that ever happened in your life. It's that profound.
Yeah.
And so, yeah.
How many people, Joe, typically might be in part one and two, and is it consecutive days or not?
Yeah. So usually it's about 100 people. No, it's not consecutive. So part one is 4 days consecutive, and that's about 100 people.
Wow.
And then part two is usually around, I would say, between 40 and 60, depending on who moves on. And then part two is 2 weeks after part one. So you have a little break.
Okay. So it's really structured.
Yeah, but if you can't go to that part two, you can take one in the future too. You don't have to go to the one right away, but most people do because they've gotten close to the people that they're with.
Yeah,
so they kind of want to be together as a team. And then part three, the Master for Living program, starts 2 weeks after part two, and that's usually about 75% of the people that go to part two move on to the Master for Living program. So there's usually about 30, 40 people. Yeah.
Okay.
And that's when they work as a team. They create a legacy project in the community where they make a difference in their community that they work together to have happen. And you kind of declare goals that who you are at the beginning of the program would not be able to have those goals happen. So you have to redesign yourself in order to be able to even attain the goals that you set.
Okay.
And it's profound. So people come through this program completely transformed and are now out in the communities making a difference in their families, making a difference, you know, at their work, wherever they are, just like coming from that space of responsibility and love and power and everything.
So why do you think that this has been so effective and beneficial to create change that people want?
Well, the program, because it's experiential, is why it's so effective. Meaning, it's like you can't learn how to ride a bicycle by reading a book. You just can't.
You have to do it.
So we're kind of like, you can't really or it won't be as quick to awaken and transform your life by reading all the spiritual help or self-help books and what have you. It's still very powerful to do so, but it's the experiences in your life usually that has the real things occur. So because it's set up as experiential and you're actually doing it. So we create like almost like real life stuff in there that people then get to push through, and now they've experienced it on some level.
It sounds really therapeutic, you know, because stuff comes up in that kind of, I think, container where there's emotional safety and for issues to come up, blocks and such, that, you know, that there's a safe environment to work through, even therapeutically, certain aspects of struggle that people have encountered regularly.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, there's definitely some parts of the training that has to go through that. There, we kind of call it, there's like a transformational context versus a psychological context. Mm-hmm. And there are some parts that, you know, sometimes there are some things that really gets to be cleaned out that falls within that psychological context. But the transformational context is all, once we get through that, it's like, okay, that was then, so what, now what?
And what are we going to put back in here? What are we going to fill this, you know, cleaned out space with?
The void.
That's how I'm
thinking.
Totally. Yeah.
Exactly.
And replacing the stories that we've made up about things and ourselves and the world.
Yeah. And that's what's so cool, is because, you know, you get to decide for yourself what it is for you. So there's nothing like, oh, now you're clean. Now we think you should think this way. It's like we have all religions. We have, you know, all walks of life, and people just, you know, they have this common denominator that we're all humans, and the rest is up to what we want to believe and what's going to be effective.
Well, I hear that it's an amazing place where you help people really tap in and get in touch with their own intuition and their own driving, you know, without all the baggage, you know, with that cleared out. Who are we? Who am I really? And what do I want?
Yeah,
and then how to access that place to manifest it regularly and consistently.
Yeah, exactly. It's incredibly powerful, and I'm so grateful. Like, there's not a day that goes by that someone doesn't come up to me and say, either you gave me my life back, or I haven't spoken to my dad in 10 years and we have a 10 relationship and just, you know, we just had Christmas together. I mean, it's like every day there's another story, and most of the stories are related to us being willing to letting go of being right about stuff. And, you know,
it's funny. I was just going to ask you about, you know, this kind of human, I think, drive, because I'm thinking, you know, as a therapist working with thousands of individuals and the messages we get growing up in school, I think our culture is set up that being right is important. Being right is validated at the expense of being loving, being forgiving, you know, being accommodating. Yeah. And so can you talk more about that concept?
Yeah, I mean, I look at that kind of righteousness that we are all, like you said, it's ingrained, it's in the water, and I think we're seeing a lot of it today, especially in the political environment as well. Mm-hmm. It is toxic, and the other day I even said it's like an epidemic, and it's getting to the point where people want to be so right about their belief systems that they are now willing to actually take action. Like, I'm going to prove to you that I'm right. And no matter what. Like, I have a couple on my street where the husband voted for Trump and the wife voted for Hillary. Mm-hmm. And they, I mean, they're actually, you know, they've worked, they've been married long enough that they can actually navigate it. And takes a lot.
It does. It would.
Because they both have so much fuel that could fuel the fire that would ruin the relationship. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So you know, a lot, I mean, with everything, it's like in any fight. I've had like two righteous arguments that I can think about with my wife. And they were in the very beginning because we were still navigating and trying to get to know each other. And one of them was that the tank top was cream color or white.
Okay.
And I was like, no, it's cream. She's like, no, it's white. And we got really like righteous. And we both have done the trainings. And so we caught it early on. And it was like amazing to see how something so unimportant and also the unwillingness to just go, like, maybe she views it different than I do. Maybe she has a different color spectrum in her eyes that
totally.
I don't have.
Yeah.
And it was just profound, you know. And there was another one about like a container being a 40 footer or a 20 footer. It was like the dumbest two things that you could be righteous about. But that's what we do, you know, and it suddenly matters. And we get so mad in relationships because we think they should know us. And it just brings up so many other things that doesn't even have to do anything with what we're actually talking about anymore.
You know, and I think, go on, and then I'll say.
Well, at the deepest level, it's like we want to be almost like we want to be right about that. On some level, we do believe that we don't matter, but it shows up as this fear of like, I don't even know I'm trying to be right so hard. But it's like, instead of just like kind of owning our ugly, like I think it's like one of the sexiest things is when someone makes a mistake and someone points it out and they immediately go, oh my God, you're right. I can't believe I just did that. Like, that's just sexy. Instead of like, no, I did it because of this, da, da, da. And it's like, oh, I just get tired, you know?
And I think because it ties into self-worth is what I hear you saying at some level, our need to be right. And one thing I've both observed and participated in, regretfully, is I think in the spiritual community and the personal growth community, it's a lot of intelligent people that are intuitive. You know, we're getting all these downloads and messages and insights. And, you know, it can be so exciting. And just I can just speak for myself. Like it things come to me, you know, in the therapy session and outside with friends, you know, with an intimate partners, like something is so clear to me about this individual. And I'm like, oh my God, blah, 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 you know, about you. And for whatever reason, they can't see it, don't want to see it, aren't ready to see it. And then I'm like, no, you know, I'm trying to help you. Like if you would just, you know, address this, like you'd really be happier. You could really get to your goal. And I know that, you know, I'm correct. Like what I'm seeing, the pattern, I see energy patterns, I see insight in maps, like above people's heads visually. So, you know, it's not that I'm not correct, but it's not very loving, you know? And so I've been working to try to just be more focused on, you know, this isn't a criticism of my value or my self-worth or lack of intelligence. You know, it's kind of respecting the other person and where they are. And so I think it's something that is, you know, really intelligent people that I know I'm constantly kind of looking for. When, you know, when is it important to stand up for justice? And when is it important to just be like, you know what, it doesn't even matter. Like being in a place of love and support is more important than being acknowledged as, yes, you're correct.
Right, and they could be just as feel just as right and correct about how they see it.
Exactly.
You feel right and correct.
You're
about
right, Joe.
Downloaded.
Yeah.
Because really, like everything is magic, you know?
Mm-hmm.
If you really look at it that way, it's almost like, you know, meditating and yoga can be working and be right for someone, whereas like medication and, you know, sitting still might be something that works
good for someone else. Yeah.
Right. And if you really truly believe that it's going to work for you, it will, if, you know, no matter what it is. And none of us is right at the end of the day. It's just, it's just nothing is better than the other, even though we can argue that it is all day, but you have to just get really clear on what's working for you. And if you have someone that's open to being supported and they want to hear it and try it on and see if it works for them, then that's amazing too, you know?
So I'm curious how this might tie into something you brought up right before we came on the air, choosing love versus choosing fear. And I know that ties into kind of the environment of our political system right now and how to navigate conflict. I wonder if you can offer us some thoughts on this.
Yeah, it's actually pretty simple. I mean, if we look at everything as coming from a space of fear or a space of love, fear being scarcity, combativeness, rejection, judgment, you know, all that, and love being acceptance, you know, working with people and like having that love space, intimacy, you know, whatever we want to put in that category. If we put them in those two, then really in any given moment, we can actually check in with ourselves and we can literally go, okay, wait, whoa, am I coming from fear right now or am I coming from love?
Mm-hmm.
And then once we have the awareness, like if we even have the awareness to stop and look, that's number one. But then go, okay, now I've investigated what's going on here and I'm definitely coming from scarcity right now, which is from fear. Then whatever I'm choosing right now is probably not going to promote what I'm up to in the world. And then I have to go, okay, so what would love do in this situation?
Yeah, what would love do? Right.
You know, and then I'm like, oh, wow, love definitely would not do what I was just about to do. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then just really kind of evaluate, like, how important is it, you know, to stay in the scarcity, or how important is it that I really say what I want to say right now? And then just maybe go choose something different and see what's created.
And that reminds me of in your book, Source Movement, you talk a lot about us, you know, taking what's in the shadow, taking the unconscious that we're creating out of default and bringing that into one's awareness and owning it. So that's kind of what I hear you saying too right now.
Yeah. Yeah. I think the most important thing is that there's an opening to even being willing to see and look.
And the being willing to see things differently.
Yeah, and the thing that's preventing that for most people is actually the righteousness to stay in the belief system that they're in. I mean, we have people resisting coming into the trainings because they are so... There's different fears that come up, but like one of the fears is that, what if it doesn't work for me? Everybody says it's so wonderful. What if it doesn't work for me? So now I'm going to resist it on so many levels because I'm afraid. Another thing is, well, I don't believe in self-help, so I'm going to sit here with my arms crossed.
Okay.
Or, you know, there's all these belief systems that people come in with, or like, people shouldn't have to pay to do something that's good for them. Like, that's another belief system that we have in the world today, which is crazy. We'll pay $100 for a pair of sneakers, but I won't put $100 on a self-help class, you know what I mean?
Right, right. Because I think it's hard, like you said, the belief, is this going to help me? Is this going to work? What if it doesn't? Whereas the shoes, it's kind of like I get the shoes. They feel good for, you know, 10 minutes. And,
yeah.
You know, so I think it's the buy-in.
Yeah, totally. And the only good thing that I have with this training is that I actually, if it quote unquote doesn't work for you after you depart one and two, I give you all your money back.
Oh, that's amazing.
So that kind of gives at least people a little bit of like, okay, well, at least I won't be, you know, have money in the pot and feel like I got nothing. You know what I mean?
Has that ever happened?
It's happened once, and we have about 5,000 or 6,000 students.
That's remarkable.
And then it was so funny that there was another time, and this is why I don't count this time, there was another time where this guy asked, because you have to ask within 48 hours of the completion of the program. So this guy sent a letter and, you know, and I cut him a check and everything. And 2 days later, he called me. He's like, I can't take this. He's like, I totally got so much value and I just wanted my money back. But the whole course is about integrity. He's like, I can't take this money.
Oh my gosh, that's amazing, Joe, that it really, wow. Wow, it totally helped him be in that higher realm of accountability and integrity.
Yeah, exactly.
Wow, that's cool.
That's really cool. Yeah, it's really cool. So, yeah, I mean, choosing love in any given moment is actually profound. You know, the other thing that I've been thinking about lately, too, and I think it's because of a lot of things I see in the environment today, like I said, okay. The political environment has actually brought up so much in people. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that I see, and maybe it's always been there, but it just hasn't been so blatant, but there's like a lack of critical thinking.
Okay, can like you talk about that?
Yeah, there's like a... And I like to give examples from my own life. So I had this a time period where I started noticing that I was only reading the news articles that validated my belief system. And the moment I started reading something that was kind of like, oh, I don't know, this kind of goes against what I actually believe, I would stop reading and go find more of the other one.
Right? Okay.
So I wasn't neutrally collecting information to really look deep inside what really is the truth for me and what do I believe. Am I willing to challenge some of my beliefs or not? So mm-hmm. I just ended up going on automatic, like I'm just going to grab more of what I already believe so that I can continuously validate that I'm right about what I'm believing.
Okay,
so it's actually,
right.
Again, that's actually something actually coming from that that feeling of I'm not enough or I'm not good enough, because if I felt like I was enough, I wouldn't need to validate what I believed.
Right, through experiences that bring you more of the same.
Yeah.
When and you're trying to break through, to something different and new.
Yeah, so I caught myself like, oh my God, I'm not being I'm calling it a critical thinker for lack of a better word, but I'm not being a critical thinker or a neutral observer, so that I can neutrally disseminate information, check it with what my principles are, and mm-hmm. then choose how to be or communicate around it.
And I hear that you're taking the judgment of oneself out of the process and able to have clarity.
Yeah. And so what I'm noticing is there's a lot of people that are just parroting, you know, they have their parrot that keeps repeating everything that they've either heard, read, or seen, and it keeps repeating it and what that parrot has experienced with them throughout their life, and it's just repeating, repeating, repeating. So when they have this little parrot sitting there talking the whole time, and you're at a dinner with someone, and they bring up a conversation about, like I had someone bring up a conversation about AA and sober houses recently, and suddenly I could hear their parrot just start talking. And I'm like, I can't believe, and blah, 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 blah. And then I just asked a simple question. I just said, well, why do you think what do you think is the reason why there's an increase in demand of sober houses, so much so that it's showing up in your neighborhood? And they were like, whoa, I never even thought of that. Like, it's like when we don't even think, the parrot just takes over and we're just going to sit there and on automatic and say what we think we believe, but might not even really know that that's what we really authentically believe because we don't have all the information.
Yeah. Yeah.
I know I put a lot on you right now.
No, it's good. It's good. So I know for you, what makes your work different than... and stand out than a lot of other models is this gratitude piece. And I just think it brings in a constant reminder of that there is something in any given moment that we can be thankful for, and finding ways to be of service is a part of your work and something important in my life too. And we're approaching the end. So I'm curious what I like to ask every guest, what is it that you would like to leave, you know, like in like a legacy or a mission, if you can answer that, and just any other concluding, you know, thoughts as well as the next set of trainings that you have. I'd love for our listeners to know when that is and how they can get involved and get registered.
Well, the first thing I would like to say is that, you know, if there's anything that resonates in anything that you hear, either from me or any other speakers, wherever you are, or a book, whatever, always take the next step. Because if it's resonating, it means that somewhere inside there is a higher part of you that's saying, you know, this is where you get to go. You know?
Mm-hmm.
So
I like that.
You know, Yeah, and then the other thing, too, just to remember is when in any given moment, ask yourself, what would love do? And then do that, because that's always going to support.
I love that.
So I have this really exciting webinar that I'm doing. It's actually not
okay,
a
tell
webinar.
Us. Yeah.
Yeah, it's actually like an online mastermind course. So I only accept 25 people, and we're all actually on video together. And the course is somewhat experiential in nature, even though we're on video. Mm-hmm. So I have different, like, we'll do some, like, closed eye processes, and we'll do different games and certain things like that. And then we also have these mastermind sessions where we all get to, like, neutrally look at subjects and really use principles that we are talking about during the course to really start assessing, like, what's going to make the world work? Like, what actually works versus what do I believe, you know? And we cover the principles of my book in there. It's an amazing 8-week online course, and it starts on March 8th. And this is the second one we're doing. Yeah,
okay.
And I only do these probably twice a year, so it's one of those. It's perfect that we schedule this call right now because it's been like 2 weeks.
Perfect. And do people find out and register through gratitudetraining.com, or what is the best way?
Yeah, you can actually go to gratitudetraining.com, and if you want to go straight to that page, you can go to gratitudetraining.com/catalyst. The course is called Be the Catalyst for Change.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah, but also on the homepage of gratitudetraining.com, there's a small little message at the top that you can, if you follow that message, you will find it. How's that?
Okay. The about gratitude message, or if you could not fail, what you would go for?
Yeah. No, a little shorter, a little under there, there's an arrow.
Oh, find out how you can be the change maker in your life.
That's it.
Yes, be the catalyst for change. Beautiful.
Yeah, so be the catalyst for change. Go ahead.
I'm sorry, I don't mean to interrupt you.
No, I said, go ahead.
I wanted to ask you, so what is what you would like to leave, Joe, in your work? Like, what is it that you would like to leave the planet, you know, our consciousness? What is important for you?
So I'm committed to creating peace in my lifetime. And I'm very clear that if we all step into that calling of being the change and living like it, whether it looks like, you know, you work at Starbucks and the way you are being at Starbucks and with everyone there kind of ripple effects into the world. And, you know, in your family, with your kids, with your parents, like if we just can be peace and love with each other, I believe that we will have world peace. I think it's that contagious, and I think it's that profound. And it's time for us to stop warring everywhere. I mean, we war everywhere.
And unnecessarily.
And that's why we see war. And there's nothing different in us, someone yelling at their child versus someone doing something really horrible on a bigger scale in the world. It's the same stuff.
It's the same energy.
War is war. Yeah, war is war. And we like to put a scale on it just so that we can feel better about the little wars that we create every day.
Yeah. Joe, thank you for being my guest today.
Thank you for having me.
You're welcome. And for our listeners, I have been with Joe Engelson, author of Source Movement, and the website is gratitudetraining.com to find out about Be the Catalyst for Change workshop coming up on March 8th, an online 8-week course. Thank you so much for taking your time out today.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
All right.
Bye.
Bye.
That concludes our show for this week. Join me next week, my 1-year anniversary show being on the air with LA Talk Radio. I hope everyone has a fantastic week and happy Mardi Gras. Bye.
You're listening to All Things Therapy with Lisa Tahir, only